Hi, this is John Jenkins, managing editor of the corporatecouncil.net, and I'd like to welcome you to the latest edition of our Timely Takes podcast. Joining me today are Alex McLean and Maggie Rota from Harder Secrets than Emory. Now, before we begin, I should probably note that I've got a lot of ties to their law firm. I never worked there, but that sort of makes me the black sheep of my family because my brother was a partner there for 30 years, and I have two brothers-in-law who are partners there as well. So, as I said, a lot of ties to this firm, and I'm very familiar with it, and delighted to welcome a couple of their attorneys here today to our podcast. Harder Secrets has authored a new memo, and Alex and Maggie are co-authors of it, on preparing for the 2024 annual reporting and proxy season, and I thought that would make a timely topic for a timely take. Alex and Maggie, welcome to today's podcast.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Listen, could we tell our listeners a little bit about your background and practice? Both of you, maybe we'll start with you, Alex. You're the senior member of the team here.
Yeah, thanks, John. So I'm chair of the Securities and Capital Markets practice here at Harder Secrest. We're a full-service law firm based in upstate New York with offices throughout New York State. You know, we have a rich history with our securities practice. We've been practicing securities law here as a firm since the early 1960s. We did have the privilege of, as John mentioned, having his brother Jim as our securities practice group leader for many, many years before he moved on to an in-house position. But we represent public companies of all different sizes in their Exchange Act compliance. And we also assist, you know, underwriters primarily on the small and micro cap level with equity securities offerings. And we're very active in that space. I've been practicing here for just under 20 years now, graduate of Case Western, originally from Ohio, but I've made upstate New York my new home and have been really enjoying it. And then I'm joined here by one of the key players of our team, Maggie Rota. Maggie, maybe I'll just give you a minute to introduce yourself.
Yep. So I'm a senior associate in the group. I'm a hometown Rochester girl. So I started my career in Chicago for a few years at a big law firm and then came back here when I realized how sophisticated the securities law practice was. So just excited to be here.
Great. Well, let's kick off with the substance here. One of the things, if you read your memo, people will know that the SEC had a very busy year in 2023. Can you highlight some of the significant new or revised disclosures that companies are going to have to provide in their 10-Ks and proxy statements for 2024?
Absolutely. So I think the big one that got a lot of attention in the 8-K world was the cybersecurity disclosure, but that's also going to come up in the 10-K this year. Don't be surprised by it. It's a new item 1C. So in that item, companies are going to have to disclose the process that they use to assess, identify, and manage material risks that come from cybersecurity threats. And then similar to other rule updates we've seen in recent years, they're going to have to give an overview of how the board provides oversight of those risks from cyber threats. So that's going to be a big one.
On that note, this is like the who's on first game that sometimes boards have to play. And that is, you know, if the boards haven't identified in charters, which committee is responsible for cybersecurity, or if the boards determine that they're going to keep at the board level that responsibility, it's important that boards at this time of year figure out who's on first and who's responsible for cybersecurity so that your securities lawyers can articulate something in your 10-K that will pass muster.
So another thing we're thinking about in this year's 10-K is having to file your clawback policy as an exhibit. So I think a lot of folks had a mad rush at the end of the year to make sure that everyone had a compliant clawback policy approved by December 1st. Now we're going to have to file as an exhibit, and there's going to be new checkboxes on the cover page of 10-K. So also consider that if you do have to do a restatement of your financial statements, that you may have disclosure required in your executive compensation section. So that might come up in your 10-K, but around proxy time, still going to have to think about those restatements, which you might want to forget about by that time. And then just a continuation of things, the changes to Rule 10b5-1, you've been reporting every quarter if there's been any adoptions or terminations of any of those types of plans. You're going to have to do it in the 10-K too. That's not very new. And then the last thing I've got for you is you're going to add a year to your pay versus performance, no matter what you did last year. So just pay attention, be prepared. Hopefully this year won't be as bad as last year.
Hard to imagine it could be, but anyway.
Right?
Now, there were some disclosure requirements the SEC adopted in the last year or so that aren't required to be addressed in this year's Form 10-K, either because they had an extended compliance date or for issuers, or because those new requirements didn't fare so well with the courts. Can you talk about those briefly?
Yep. So let's talk about 2025 first, and then we can talk about never. So 2025, we've got more things related to Rule 10b5-1. So next year, you're going to have to file your insider trading policy with your Form 10-K. So that'll be brand new So I think this year we're going to be focused with our clients on making sure that that's camera ready and that it's actually something that the company uses day to day. The other thing is the new table under the executive compensation rule. So I think this will be interesting to see if anyone actually uses. But if you are a company that awards stock options and there's a grant of stock options within 4 days before or one business day after you disclose material non-public information, you're going to have to put in this table in your executive compensation disclosure that shows the grant date value and then how the stock price changed before and after that to go after what may be an academic point about why the rules changed, but it'll be interesting. But that's not required till 2025. So then we can set that aside and talk about maybe never, which is the share repurchase disclosure rules. So this was even in regular news, not just nerd news that we follow, but there was going to be required daily share repurchase numbers in an exhibit to your 10K and 10Q instead of the monthly disclosure that companies are used to. So that was challenged and successfully challenged in the Fifth Circuit. So I was challenged under the Administrative Procedure Act that the SEC didn't follow the right steps under the law to propose and adopt this rule. The Fifth Circuit held that the rules were arbitrary and capricious, and so they vacated the rule. So where we're at right now is that let's pretend the new rule doesn't exist and we're going to go back to what we used to do. So that monthly average of the share repurchases you had, we're going back to that. And we'll see if the SEC appeals or if they start over.
Yeah, it's an interesting process, that's for sure. So other key player here during the proxy season always ISS and Glass Lewis, the proxy advisors. What updates from them do they have this year that issuers should be mindful of as they move into the 2024 proxy season?
Yeah, so I think the big focus here is, again, clawback policies and related points. So ISS didn't actually have any voting policy changes, which is interesting. So really, the thing that stood out to me, they clarified that if you have either a new equity compensation plan that you're trying to get approved or an amendment to an existing plan, they use a scorecard. And there's different points in how they weigh policies that you have and then how the plan impacts your policies. So they clarified that if you have a clawback policy that only meets the NASDAQ or NYSE requirements, it's like not good enough for them. You won't get points. So what they're looking for is to get points is that your policy has to be able to recover time vesting awards in addition to performance-based awards. So that's just a little something extra that they're looking for. And other side of that, for Glass Lewis, they clarified that they would recommend against, I think, nominating committee members if the clawback policy doesn't have the material misconduct language that I think when companies were anticipating these clawback rules that a lot of companies put into place. So it's not just the NYSE and NASDAQ requirements, but also the company needs the ability to claw back compensation if the employee at issue had some kind of misconduct or bad action. So those are two big ones. Glass Lewis is also focused on material weaknesses as those are creeping up in recent years. So if you've had a material weakness for more than 1 year and you don't have clear disclosure about how you're going to fix that or what steps have been taken, they are going to recommend a vote against all audit committee members, which I think is interesting and new. And Glass Lewis is also focused on the cybersecurity disclosure, as you can imagine, with all the new rules, but still a little bit squishy on how they're doing that.
All right. Well, again, there's plenty of new stuff on the table this year for folks to consider. But you know, let's take a step back. And in addition to some of these new disclosure requirements, do you have any thoughts on some of the key things that companies and their advisors should keep in mind as they tackle their annual disclosures this year?
There's a couple points that we're really trying to hit home with our clients this year. One is a lot of this is going to be going what I call going back to basics and paying attention to details. The first is your equity incentive plans. Many public companies have stockholder-approved equity incentive plans, but a lot of times some of them include limitations on the number of shares in a given year that can be granted to an officer or to a member of the board. And it's not uncommon that from time to time, people aren't paying close attention to those limits. And particularly in a situation now where stock prices have declined across the market, what you thought was plenty of shares to issue grants from a value perspective may not be anymore. And so there has been an uptick in stockholder litigation where plaintiffs' firms identify through various means where you have granted equity in excess of a limit in a plan, and they bring a fiduciary breach of fiduciary duty claim against the board. So it's important that as companies prepare their proxy disclosure, and particularly about their grant practices from the last year, that they ensure that those grant practices complied with the terms of their policy. And if not, now would be an excellent time to fix it before you actually publicly disclose it and get the plaintiffs going. Another thing, and this is something as a young lawyer, I remember focusing on a lot, and it's something that people have missed over time, and that is know your vote standards. Really pay attention to your bylaws and the law of your state of incorporation. Particularly in Delaware, there has been changes to the voting requirements or the vote standards required for certain approvals. So make sure that someone has looked closely at the bylaws and the underlying state law to ensure that what you're disclosing as the approval required for a matter at the annual meeting is in fact correct. Once again, that's an area that plaintiffs have started looking at a little bit closer. On a related note, the state of Delaware this last year made some very helpful changes to the stockholder approval requirements for Delaware charter amendments if you're amending your certificate of incorporation. So once again, don't just carry over the disclosure from a prior year. Actually look at it and ensure that the vote standard is correct and that the requirements for amending your charter as you described them in your proxy statement are in fact correct. And then last but not least, I'll just say, and I know there's a lot of thoughts on this, both pro and con, but take a look at what your agenda items are for your meeting. And if you're still planning on having an in-person meeting of stockholders with just routine matters, make sure you've thought about what it is that your stockholders are expecting to receive or take away from the annual meeting. In many instances, stockholders are getting more comfortable with virtual annual meetings. And if your stock, depending on what your stockholder base looks like, it is something to kind of evaluate this year, whether your form of meeting makes sense for the size of your company and what others in the industry are doing. So that's just a few things that I would point out as kind of higher level things to pay attention, you know, to as we go into another fun proxy season.
Well, great. Well, you can find the memo that Harder Secrets prepared, we discussed here, posted in our proxy season practice area, and members of the corporatecouncil.net can also keep up to date the latest developments during proxy season by following our proxy season blog. And in closing, I'd just like to thank Alex and Maggie for their time today, and thank everybody for listening. This concludes today's podcast.
Thank you.